Yeah! Here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right here on the Coverage YouTube and X channels. We are proudly sponsored by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. So if you're looking to lock some bets in tonight, make sure you head on over to BetMGM. Okay, so we're coming off of a very eventful weekend in college football and the NFL. We're going to be recapping some of what we saw, but we're also going to be placing some bets. We have a Monday Night Football doubleheader, 5 total bets for the games tonight in the NFL. We will be opening with NFL. Then in the second half of the show, Brad Powers will be by. He's got 3 best bets for, what are we going into, week 5? College football just absolutely flying here, baby. Shout out to the guys in the live chat. If you want to participate in the show, very easy to do so. Just hit up that live chat on X, on YouTube. Let us know what you like tonight in the Monday Night Football doubleheader. We have a poll up as well. Let us know what your best bet is on the spread here tonight. Bobby Newport, good luck tonight. And this week, y'all, good luck to you as well. Joe Show, fire it up, baby. So I usually have a Miami Dolphins helmet behind me, but I can't display that in my home anymore after what we saw yesterday. Let's bring in our guy here. Let's get into the NFL segment of the show.
Wow, that's funny.
Jingle. So yeah, we're coming off of a winning show Friday, not by a lot, but hey, a winning day is a winning day. So shout out to you. The big one was Lamar running in for a touchdown. Very sweaty.
+200 versus that Dallas defense when Baltimore was 0-2 is still a crazy price.
Yeah, indeed. Beautiful spot there. 2-2 for me. So hopefully we can find a winning night here tonight. We have 5 total bets for the Monday Night Football doubleheader, which I don't know. Maybe I'm old fashioned. I don't like the Monday Night Football doubleheader. I just like one game. I like the Sunday when the football's all in your face. You got multiple screens all going at once. I like just one game to focus on in primetime. What do you guys think about that? Let us know in the live chat. Okay, let's get into a recap segment, winners and losers of the weekend. Then we'll get into our best bets. Let's start with the positives and we'll start with me, the biggest winner of the week here in the NFL. Who had this predicted going into the week? None other than Andy Dalton, quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, who probably had the best passing day of any quarterback in the NFL so far this season. That's not an exaggeration, people. He's the only quarterback so far this season to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Very clean day. He didn't throw an interception in that game. He led the Panthers to 36 points, 16-1 to win comeback player of the year, by the way, for Andy Dalton, maybe following the footsteps of Joe Flacco there. So it's just not about the win against the Raiders there. It's because the Panthers were absolutely dead. This team was the laughingstock of the NFL. This looked like the worst team in the NFL in a very long time. And he gave them a massive boost. So maybe it won't be a completely lost season here for the Panthers. Plenty of bad teams on their schedule. They don't want to win too many games, all right? They're going to be starting over at quarterback here in the draft. So good day by Dalton and the Panthers. You got to give them credit. My second biggest winner, the Vikings. Plenty of praise to go around for this team. 3-0 on the season now for Minnesota. They've already beaten 2 playoff teams here from last year. They've outscored their opponents 85-30 so far this season. The Minnesota Vikings with Sam Darnold as the quarterback, proving that he can be a competent quarterback when in a quality system. How often do we say so many of these young quarterbacks come into the league and they're set up to fail right off the bat? New York Jets, Sam Darnold, they didn't set that guy up to win. And we also got to point out Brian Flores. He's setting himself up for another head coaching job. He's already held 2 opponents to single-digit scoring this season as defensive coordinator of the Vikings. And my third biggest winner, we got a tie here. I'm going with 2 of the best in the NFL here, Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay. So things really could have went off the rail here for the Packers. Jordan Love goes down in the season opener. They end up losing that game. Malik Willis is stepping in at starting quarterback. Everyone's kind of making fun of him, making fun of this situation. All the Packers do is win both of those games with Willis as the quarterback, win both wins as an underdog as well. They lead the league in rushing yards. And Willis, extremely competent quarterback play. Everyone's making fun of this guy, saying he doesn't belong in the NFL. He's completing 73.5% of his passes, zero interceptions. Big game versus the Vikings on deck here in week four. And how about Sean McVay here and the Rams? This was setting up potentially to be a lost season. Things were falling off the rails here for the Rams early. No Nacua, no Cup, no problem versus the 49ers, who did choke a little bit too, to be fair here. But two of their next three games come against the Bears and the Raiders. So it does look like the Rams are going to be able to keep their heads above water while these injury issues sort themselves out. So yeah, good coaching day by a couple of the top guys in the NFL. Jingles, your top winners of the week in the NFL.
Just going to look at, Bookie Snipers is saying, how long can Minnesota stay undefeated at Green Bay next week? Jets, Lions on deck. That's going to be a big game next week. Obviously, two coach of the year favorites going head to head. So we'll see where the cards fall after that. But Minnesota's legit. And this Brian Flores defense is absolutely insane. Held Houston to 7. San Francisco to 17 points. 2 for 10 on third down, San Francisco was. And we saw visibly frustrated Brock Purdy and CJ Stroud. And let's not, the Giants game is the Giants game to knock things off, right? But if you hold right now, if you hold Malik Nabers to 5 catches and 66 yards, you got a pretty good defense right now, pretty much a top three defense across the board. But considering the opposition, they might be better than Pittsburgh, who hasn't had to face San Francisco, who hasn't had to face Houston. So they're legit. And I think when you're doing that defense and you're pulling those things off indoors, it's even more impressive. So hat tip, obviously, there. Malik Nabers, number two winner, youngest wide receiver with 2 TDs in a game. That's an insane stat right there. But he's also the first wide receiver ever, 20 receptions, 3 TDs through 3 weeks. He's now become the betting favorite for the offensive rookie of the year. And I mean, if I was forced to make a winning bet in that market, I think it's him. I think we've seen the quarterback play fall down. I mean, Bo Nix had a good week, but Marv is not a high volume guy like we're seeing with Nabers. So it's just going to get out to him. Wendell's not a bad guy to look at if you're looking for secondary props there, but this guy's just going to get targeted 12 times a game within that offense. It's just him. It's just literally him. So that's where we are. And I'm going to add Andy Dalton to my winners on the fourth one. So Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, Malik Willis, Geno Smith, and also Andy Dalton, a perfect 12-0 straight up through 3 weeks, which is absolutely bananas. And if you look at within it, Andy Dalton's the only guy who doesn't have, well, I guess Andy Dalton has some new pieces within that coaching package, but Darnold, new offense. Malik Willis only been there since what? I think the 26th of August. Geno Smith with a whole new coaching package. So I think we're starting to see, and I mean, we saw it with Dalton. I think we might see, and it's such a copycat league, the emphasis on structure, coaching over selling the farm for these young quarterbacks. And I mean, Justin Fields is running a very good system. I think he just has the one interception, and that was yesterday. It was on a tip pass. There's a lot to like. I mean, Fields was traded for a 6th-round pick. Darnold was a free agent coming in, 1-year deal. Willis just got traded for a 7th-round pick. And Smith was, before he re-signed that $100 million deal, he was 1 year at $3.5 million. So there's some shrewd business going on, and it doesn't have anything to do with overspending on guys like I don't know anything that Chicago's done. So Chicago just stinking it up for the rest of them.
Yeah, sometimes a change of scenery for these quarterbacks who've underperformed. That's all they need. Some structure, some good coaching around them, some good teammates, right? John Mettler says, get rid of the draft. Stop sending top talent to bad situations. I've heard arguments for getting rid of the draft. But the problem is then – we'll talk about that another time, but I have looked that up. People have argued for getting rid of the draft altogether, but in situations like that, you know, no one's going to go to the Panthers and these top guys coming out of college and stuff like that. So I don't know if there were some rules around it. Maybe you could figure something out, but we love the draft, and shout out to Malik Nabers looking like the real deal, a big time superstar here in the NFL. Okay, let's get negative here, baby. My biggest losers of the week, and let's start with the absolute clown show in Las Vegas, a joke of a franchise, a poverty franchise, the Las Vegas Raiders. So how do you follow up that massive win on the road versus the Baltimore Ravens? Well, the worst team in the NFL comes to town for your home opener, and they beat the living shit out of you. They smoke you by 14. They had over 400 yards of offense, the Carolina Panthers, by the way. And it was actually a lot worse than it looked. Vegas needed a garbage time touchdown to get to 22 points. And I thought that Antonio Pierce was a big-time players coach, right? They all advocated for him to be the coach. I told you guys coming into the season that I don't think it's going to work out. I really don't think it's going to work out. Now, they all quit on him, and he quit on them. He threw them all under the press or under the bus in the press conference there yesterday. So a shit show in Las Vegas there for the Raiders. Biggest loser number two. I got the logo covered up there for a reason on the helmet. I cannot display this in my home. I cannot display this on my show here live on YouTube.com. Second biggest losers. Let's go head coach and GM of the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer. Let's start with the general manager, Chris Greer. You have a starting quarterback in Tua, who has a long list of injury history. Concussions, hips, everything else. And you come into a season with Skylar Thompson as your backup quarterback. Anyone who's watched the Miami Dolphins over the past couple of years can tell you that this guy should not be in the NFL. Anyone who's watched him in the preseason, he was awful in the preseason. And this was on full display yesterday in Seattle. Skylar Thompson should not be in the NFL. It's not like guys like, Joe Flacco, Sam Darnold, Justin Fields, Gardner Minshew. It's not like guys like this were available in the offseason to come in and be a backup quarterback, were they? Oh, yeah. Yes, they were. Next up, let's go to the head coach, Mike McDaniel, the offensive genius, supposedly, who can't make a short yardage play call to save his life. Run the ball, Mike. So really, 3 points scored on extended rest up in Seattle yesterday? 1 of 12? On third down for this team. And Mike McDaniel, here's the problem with this guy. He is the ultimate front runner. He's going to look fantastic on the sideline when Miami is a favorite at home in that early time slot on Sunday facing a bad team who's starting their backup quarterback. But he's going to look awful in primetime situations and in big spots. And indeed, yesterday was a big spot for the Miami Dolphins. Facing some adversity, once again, another emotional situation with Tua coming off another concussion. And this is how the team rallies around this situation. That's how they get up for the spot on extended rest. So here's the thing with Mike McDaniel. When he wins, it looks pretty. When he loses, it's really bad. He already has 8 losses by 14 or more points as head coach here of the Dolphins. And what's the problem here? The Packers are winning games with Malik Willis. The Vikings are doing pretty good with Sam Darnold. And here the shtick is up, Mike. It works when the team is winning, but no one gives a shit about the fancy sunglasses, the fancy watch, the cool sneakers. I don't know about that hairstyle, but it doesn't work when the team's getting their teeth kicked in. So just brutal. Run the ball. 18 run attempts yesterday in Seattle. Skylar Thompson, what is going on there? My third biggest loser of the week, it's the New Orleans Saints, man. They really blew this one. So they had an excellent opportunity to start the season 3-0. And Philly did everything in their power to hand them this game. Just awful play calling on third down and fourth down. The decision-making was awful. Jalen Hurts throwing the ball away in the end zone, fumbling the football all over the place. They were in position to win. Then they allowed a 61-yard pass to Dallas Goedert to set up a game-winning touchdown. So let's pump the brakes on calling the Saints the greatest show on turf. They absolutely blew that one versus the Eagles. A little passionate there after the Miami Dolphins game yesterday. Jingles, who are your biggest losers of the week there from the NFL?
Oh, God. I'll run through these quick for the boys there in the chat. John Romano and old Ryan McGee got the patience of a school child, so we'll feed them a little bit. Dallas D, those boys, that Ryan McGee bag might be as soft as his Dallas defense. That game was one-sided basically until the end somehow. turned it the other way. They've allowed 8 rushing touchdowns and a league worst 5.4 yards per carry. What do you think about that, Ryan? 90% red zone defense. That is absolutely dog shit. Baltimore 3-for-3 in the red zone. New Orleans 4-for-5 in the red zone. And Cleveland, that garbage offense, 2-for-2 in the red zone versus Dallas's defense. No D in Dallas right now. The Bears, easy to shit on. Williams is brutal. He pumped up the yardage, but he still looked awful. And now Fields is thriving. Well, Chicago pays for it, basically. And let's be honest, Chicago should be 0-3 if it wasn't for Will Levis, who also rounds out my shit list here. He can't have a job for much longer, just the way he is. 8 turnovers in 3 games. It's kind of embarrassing at this point that he's getting trotted out. Mason Rudolph, I think you get one more week where they pretty much have to go away from Levis, who I think his 3 turnovers all came late in yesterday's loss.
Yeah, Levis and Richardson, some ugly plays from them as well. Okay, let's get into the action here. Monday Night Football, doubleheader. First game, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars looking to pick up a W in Buffalo against the Bills. We each have one for this. I'll get started here. Going with a bit of a different bet type, but I think a pretty good spot here. Trevor Lawrence, we're going to go for his longest completion to be under 34.5 yards. So let's get into this. Buffalo doesn't get beat deep. Check this out. They've allowed just one pass play of 40 or more yards since the start of last season. The longest completion they've allowed so far this season, 24 yards. And they played some solid offenses here. Just 5.1 yards per pass attempt allowed versus the Cardinals and the Dolphins, two teams that at least have the potential to be explosive. And he's had some real accuracy issues so far this season, just 51% completion percentage on 51 passes. So we'll take him to not throw a pass completion over 34.5. Jingles, your best bet for this game?
Square. Lots of people are on it, and it's not just a revenge angle spot. I just think Gabe Davis is in a spot in this offense to go, I don't know, let's go over, alt over, plus 165. His receiving yards total sitting at 38.5. Covers projection, 54.3. So getting this at better than 50% at plus 165, I'll take it. Leads all wide receivers in air yards and target shares. Week 2 led the team in targets with 7. Obviously, he's facing his former team. There's a big angle there. But this is a Buffalo team that without Matt Milano, without Teron Johnson. So there's issues there. And there's lots of guys getting snaps within that offense, but this is a man who's got 101 snaps to Christian Kirk's, I believe, 81. So he's basically wide receiver 1 within this offense. I know the ball's kind of going around to everybody, but maybe with Evan Ingram out too, there could be a couple more looks. This is a low number.
Okay, except let's go to Cincinnati. I think it could be an exciting game here. Commanders in town. I'm going to go over on the total here, 46.5. So the Commanders have allowed at least 28 points in 8 of their last 10 road games. Mac Jones and Desmond Ridder quarterbacked the only opponents who didn't reach at least 28 points. They are one of the worst defenses to open the season. I know it's a small sample size, but 31st in yards per play. And no excuses here for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, who's back in the lineup for these guys, not to have a big night, especially with their offensive line providing pretty good protection here so far this season. Washington doing a good job of moving the football, 8th in yards per play entering this week. They just have to finish in the red zone. Somehow they went 0-for-6 in the red zone last week against the Giants. They should have dropped 30 points in that game easily. And as for the Bengals, let's not forget this was one of the worst defenses in the NFL last season. Maybe they've improved a little bit, but I don't know, probably an average defense at best. So yeah, I like the over 46.5. Bet over at BetMGM. Jingles, what's your best bet for this game?
Let's go another alt over for some plus money here. Gesicki, we're targeting tight ends today. Let's go 4 plus receptions, 190. Team high targets, week 2, obviously. But what I like about this is that some might say it's unsustainable, but Gesicki's getting packages for him. He's getting targeted on 43% of his routes. And what we're seeing with Cincinnati so far is that they're running Drew Sample, they're running Eric All, they're running Gesicki here, the three wide or the three tight ends. They're getting a lot of run. But they're also targeting their tight ends at a 37% clip so far, which is 2nd in football. So I think there's a lot of room here. He doesn't have to go for big yardage, but versus that Washington defense, just give me 4 catches for 190 there with Gesicki, who put up 791 last week too.
All right, final pick for the Monday Night Football doubleheader, and then we will go to Brad and cover the college game. Austin Eckler, I don't get this number. I'm going to take the over on his receiving yards of 17 and a half. So I think this is a real bargain here. He's a pretty reliable option here for young Jaden Daniels. 7 targets so far, 7 catches. Don't be surprised if they start to look his way more often. He has easily doubled this number in both games so far this season, totals of 47 and 52. And this is what he does. He's coming off a season where he had 21 or more receiving yards in 10 of 14 games. So we'll take Eckler to go over his receiving yard total tonight in beautiful Cincinnati. Jingles, have you ever been to Cincinnati?
No, sir. I have not been to Cincinnati. Am I missing out?
I've never. Well, no. Their sports teams aren't very good. I'd like to go see a Reds game. No, I've never been to Cincinnati, but hopefully they can come through and Gesicki can get some catches, get some yards, and hopefully we go over there and Eckler get some yards as well. So, yeah, I think an exciting one there. So, Jingles, you'll be back on the show on Thursday, then, of course, Friday. But what do you have going on until then? Where can the viewers check out the rest of your work?
I think I'm pulling the trigger on a Brown Robin with the tight ends today. I didn't put it up there in the picks, but I think I'm soloing it. 5 catches plus 50 yards for Gesicki, for Ertz, for Kincaid, and for our boy Strange in Jacksonville. I'm going to round robin all those guys all across the board today. I'm going to take a little shot with those guys. The 4 of them have actually been getting a lot of volume, so that's what I'm doing with that. Live or die by the day, bud, and then tomorrow's another day. It can't get worse than what I saw in Atlanta last night in the final 5 minutes. Just absolute trash. I guess Kirk Cousins audibled out of it, but I wasn't really impressed with Zach Robinson's play calling inside the red zone.
Indeed. Okay, Jingles, thank you as always for joining. Best of luck with your bets, and we will catch you again on Thursday.
Yep, tell Ryan I'll see him later, bud, there in the chat.
Absolutely. All right, boys, very active live chat. People pretty antsy to get the Brad Powers down there in sunny Las Vegas. So let's do it. Let's shift gears over to college football. Brad, the people are asking for you. How are you making out here today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? I heard your take on I agree with your Mike McDaniel take. I don't get it. He is so beloved by the stat nerds and the people that in this betting community. I just don't see it. What am I missing?
The shtick is wearing out. It works when you're winning. But he's sitting there with the designer sunglasses and a cool watch, and he's got a new hairstyle. It's kind of like a perm or something this season, and the cool sneakers and the capri. And when you're winning, it's quirky, it's fun, it works. But you can kind of pick that stuff apart when it's not working out. And I thought this guy was an offensive genius. He was the big run game coordinator there for the San Francisco 49ers. They run the ball 18 times yesterday, Brad, with Skylar Thompson as their quarterback. They can't get the ball to Tyreek. They can't get the ball to Waddle. That was a rough watch for me as a Dolphins fan. Hence, I have covered up the helmet here. And, hey, they're playing. It's funny, though, because they suck in primetime, right? And they host the Titans this week on football. The Dolphins host the Titans. And I would say fade the Dolphins at all costs, but it's Will Levis, right? So I don't know. Might have to just stick to the total in that one. So. Yeah, a lot of ugly football there yesterday and some pretty good coaching as well. So, let's get into college here, Brad. An eventful weekend as always. So take two. What are your two biggest takeaways out of the weekend in college football?
I mean, obviously you can talk about, Tennessee's big road win over Oklahoma, and we'll talk about Michigan USC here in a second. But I think one performance that's not getting in love nationally is what Utah did to Oklahoma State with a backup quarterback on the road. Very tough place to play. Mike Gundy's a great coach. And Utah manhandled Oklahoma State, even worse than the final. In fact, it was 22-3, middle of the fourth quarter. They outrushed Oklahoma State by more than 200 yards in the game. Oklahoma State got a couple of touchdown drives late to make that final look more respectable. I think Utah clearly looks now, with Kansas State losing, Oklahoma State losing, they look like head and shoulders the best team in the Big 12. And then I'll say another thing. Some group of five teams, keep in mind they're getting a lot of love this year because there's that one bid to the playoff. couldn't handle success well. Northern Illinois off the big upset against Notre Dame, loses outright as a big favorite. Same with Memphis off a big win over Florida State. They lose outright as a touchdown plus favorite to Navy. So a lot of pressure on these teams. Somebody's going to get the bid, but let's see if they can handle some success. I'm looking at you, Boise State. I'm looking at UNLV this week to see if they can handle business.
All right, let's talk some big picture stuff. You take a look at the national championship futures odds board. We had Georgia, just a slight favorite over Ohio State, neck and neck. Who do you give the edge to between those two teams?
So, I mean, right now, power rating wise, Georgia's slightly ahead of Ohio State, just because, I mean, Ohio State hasn't played anybody yet. So, at least Georgia's played a Clemson, and that win is looking better and better by the week, and then went on the road and beat Kentucky. I know they struggled in the game, but at least they played somebody. With that being said, I mean, boy, the road schedules for both of these teams, they play a combined 5 top 10 teams, all of them on the road. Georgia faces 3, Ohio State 2. So because of that, playing an extra tough game on the road, I don't know if I'm jumping in and betting Georgia right now. I think at some point they're going to lose a game, maybe this week against Alabama. We'll talk more about that on Friday. You're not buying Georgia the futures tickets right now. You want to get them low. You want to get them off a loss. They're going to lose at some point. I'm not sure you could say that about the Buckeyes. I mean, they're going to be favored in all 12 of their games.
Yeah, tough schedule coming up for Georgia. Texas in about a month there as well.
And Ole Miss on the road.
Yeah stacked one. Okay, let's talk Heisman here. So anyone who knows anything about betting knows futures betting, it's all about timing. You got to get in at the right time. So you take a look at the futures odds board here for the Heisman. Cam Ward's a favorite. Jackson Dart not far behind. But who can you see rising up this Heisman futures odds board over the next couple of weeks?
I think the winner of the Georgia-Alabama game, it's the biggest game of the year so far. So you're looking at the two quarterbacks, Carson Beck from Georgia, Jalen Milroe at Alabama. If, you know, one of them has a big-time performance, leads the team to a win, they might become the Heisman favorite by Sunday afternoon. So if you got – I don't have a strong take on the game. I think it's pretty priced accordingly. We'll talk more about it on Friday. But if you got a strong take and you think, oh, Georgia's for sure going to win or Alabama's going to pull this short upset – then I think, you know, diversify your portfolio a little bit. Maybe take a flyer on both quarterbacks. I'm not getting involved. I'm already involved on both guys. So I already have Heisman tickets on both. If you want a long shot, though, Cade Klubnik, who I'm not a big fan of, but, boy, you look at Clemson's schedule. They're going to be favored in their remaining 10 games, and he's putting up great numbers. 8 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions the last 2 weeks. As high as 75-1 if you shop real hard. Cade Klubnik might be worth the flyer. Not saying he's going to win it, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised he's a finalist when it's all said and done.
Bookie Sniper's asking, is Travis Hunter in the Heisman conversation? Can you take him seriously? It's a quarterback award pretty much, right?
It's a quarterback award. And then number two, it's also you got to be on a good team. And I know they got the win, but I mean, Colorado, a very one play, a Hail Mary away from being 2 losses. Have you checked this week's schedule? They're a 2 touchdown underdog against Central Florida. You can't win the Heisman on a 6-6 team.
Okay, let's talk USC Michigan. My question to you is, can we still take USC seriously after that loss to Michigan? Now, they had some pretty good momentum going into that game. They were favored in that game, trying to beat their second ranked opponent on the season, but you know, you look at the stats. Michigan threw the ball 12 times for 32 yards. They ran it 46 times here, Brad. So it should have been obvious. They're going to run it here, USC, and they end up losing the game. It was a close game, but they lost. So should we take USC seriously after that performance?
Yeah, I don't think you can. And I know you asked me a couple weeks ago, should we be buying USC playoff tickets? And I said no, and mainly due to the schedule, and I questioned their ability to handle the body blows. I mean, I was surprised. I thought USC would win the game on Saturday, so I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, I knew Michigan was going to win. It's just, you know, the problem is SC didn't hold up at the point of attack. They weren't ready to play to begin with. Off a bye week, and I mean, that incredibly slow start offensively and defensively. Sure, they made some adjustments. They got the lead back. And then, but boy, when the entire stadium knows that Michigan's going to run it and you can't stop it, I mean, I don't know what the pathway forward for SC, especially look, I know they're going to beat Wisconsin this week, but there were some body blows that they suffered in that game. They had several players go out in injury. You're going to get more body blows this week against Wisconsin. Then you're playing Nebraska. You got Penn State. You got a physical Rutgers team. You got Notre Dame. I mean, I think this is a team that's probably going to lose a couple more games.
okay, you and I both like this market. Will they or won't they make the college football playoff? Maybe I'll try to throw a different team at you here each Monday on the show. So let's discuss Notre Dame, plus 200 to make the college football playoff. Now they start hot, beating Texas A&M. Then that pathetic loss to Northern Illinois. They have since bounced back. They won their next two games, outscoring their opponents 94-10. Big game this week, favored by 5 against Louisville. So plus 200 for the Fighting Irish to make the college football playoff. You think that's a good bet?
No. In fact, I would give me the opposite of it. I think it's the better bet. No, they won't make the playoff, even if I got to lay 300 in that market, because tough. They got to run the table for starters, Joe. I mean, the Northern Illinois loss didn't age well immediately because Northern Illinois loses to Buffalo. The rest of the schedule is not aging well. Purdue stinks, obviously. Iowa, Ohio's 0-3. Texas A&M almost lost to Bowling Green, so not looking good. When you can't throw the football consistently, and right now Notre Dame can't, how can I trust you to win out? I think it's much more likely they go 9-3 than 11-1, so they're out of the playoff.
Okay, Brad doesn't like the Irish, but three teams that you do like this week. Let's get into the best bets here. That's why a lot of the people are watching right now. So let's start with UConn, favored by 5.5 against Buffalo. You like the Huskies?
Yeah, we had both these teams as best bets last week. They both won, but I was more impressed with one over the other. Now, I know, how could you say that? Buffalo won outright as a 2-touchdown underdog. Ah, man, statistically, probably should have lost the game. So I think we're getting a little bit of value there. And plus, they're off a big win, probably celebrating extra after a quote-unquote top 25 win over an overrated Northern Illinois team. But the team, and the reason why we're laying 5.5 here is Connecticut. I don't think the market has a grasp on how good this team is. Everyone threw him in the trash because he got blown out in the opener. Since then, blowout an FCS opponent, almost outright upset Duke. And then last week in a game that was basically pick 'em at close, the market said I was an idiot last week. They win by 34 and absolutely dominate Florida Atlantic. Run for a school record at the FBS level, 421 yards. I think it's very repeatable this week. We're laying it with Connecticut.
Okay, next up, we have another 5.5-point spread. Western Michigan, the underdog here, taking on Marshall. And you like Western Michigan?
I do. They're off a bye. I mean, both teams have played similar schedules. Western Michigan statistically about the same here. But I'm playing on a little bit of news here. Marshall's quarterback got banged up, concussed. I'm not sure he's going to play here. I know they're playing a bunch of different quarterbacks, but I don't see much separation between the two teams. I made the line 3. We got 2.5 points of value on my power rank. We're just playing a power rankings play here. Western Michigan +5.5.
Okay, next up, let's go with another underdog. You like Cincinnati, favored by 3.5, taking on Texas Tech.
Yeah, Cincinnati +3.5 here. Statistically, I know people like talking success rates and EPA and stuff. I'll dumb it down. Not that I don't think the viewers are dumb, but I think it's a very basic stat that people can understand, yards per play. Yards per play margin, Cincinnati is 1 yard better than Texas Tech, despite the fact that they played similar strength of schedule. So in my opinion, we have the better team in this one. And sure, you got to give Texas Tech a little bit of credit for home field, but I made this one closer to 2, and now we're above the key number 3. And also, I like this, Joe. Change a couple plays. What's the line? Texas Tech almost lost as a 35-point favorite to Abilene Christian. Had they lost, they won by 1 in overtime. Had they lost the game, what would the market have done? They'd have thrown them in the trash. Cincinnati blew a 3-touchdown lead to Pittsburgh in the second half. Had they not blown that, what would we think the market think of Cincinnati here? That loss has aged well. Pittsburgh's looked great. So I think it just changed 2 plays, and we might be dealing with a point spread here, 1.5-2 instead of 3.5. Give me the value, Cincinnati +3.5.
Okay, there you have it. Best bets from Brad. Connecticut -5.5 versus Buffalo. Western Michigan +5.5 versus Marshall. And Cincinnati +3.5 versus Texas Tech. Brad, we're going to leave it at that, but you're going to be back with us, of course, on Friday. We got some pretty big games to discuss, Georgia, Alabama, especially there. So we'll look forward to seeing you then. Best of luck with all your handicapping, and we'll catch you again on Friday.
And more best bets. And keep an eye to the sky. Weather system possibly hitting the south this week. So keep an eye towards that.
Okay, indeed. All right, Brad, thanks for joining. We'll catch you on Friday.
Take care.
Yes, sir. Indeed, the man right there. Okay, so we put up a poll in the bet, or in the a poll in the chat over on YouTube, asking what do you guys think the best spread bet is tonight in this Monday Night Football doubleheader. 40% of the chat thinks the Jags +5.5 is the best bet here. And Monday, yeah, I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion on the side in that one. I do expect the Bills to win, but maybe the Jags, this is a real desperation spot here for Jacksonville. So maybe they do give them a game. We shall see. Okay, let's recap the best bets that me and Jingles gave out. Trevor Lawrence, longest completion, under 34.5 yards. The Bills do a great job at preventing the big pass. I like Commanders, Bengals, over 46.5. I think that could be a pretty exciting game here. Austin Eckler, over 17.5 receiving yards. Gabe Davis, 50-plus receiving yards from Jingles, plus 165. And Mike Gesicki, four or more receptions, plus 190. Liking that plus money. The man is giving them out. Okay, it's getting big here in the world of sports and obviously sports betting. Final week of Major League Baseball regular season. Can the Tigers get in here to the playoffs? I tweeted out on Friday night. I said, if only Twins fans want to see the Twins get into the playoffs, they're an easy out every single time that they get in. An absolute joke. No one wants to see the Twins in the playoffs. So let's go Tigers. Hopefully the Tigers can get in some new blood there. So we're going to be all over the MLB postseason. We're already all over NFL and college football. NBA training camps open, I think, towards maybe next week. NHL starts soon here too. So we got a lot going on and we're covering it all here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you are subscribed. And we're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow. Professional sports bettor Hitman will be on the show trying to get a jump on some of his best bets for week four in the NFL. John Mettler will be by as well. We're going to have our best bets for Major League Baseball. 6-0 on MLB bets on the show there last week for yours truly. So we're going to try to finish the regular season on a strong note, baby, before we get into the playoffs. We will leave it at that, though, today. We want to thank you guys for watching today. If you're watching the replay, hit up the comment section right down there. Let us know what you're betting on here in Monday Night Football. Let us know what you like for the week ahead in college as well. Guys, thank you for tuning in. Best of luck with your bets, and we will catch you again tomorrow. Woo!